ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we have started a most marvelous topic, and it is so appropriate. Why is it appropriate? Because nowadays, whether it is movies, or it is songs, or it is a dress, or it is conversation, everybody is talking about love, love, love. Do really people understand what is the meaning of love? What is the psychology of love? What is the origin of love? What really a person loves? And why he cannot love? Everyone is absolutely selfish. The word selfish has to be defined as one who is totally preoccupied with the self, one's own self, either from the lower point of view or from the highest point of view. And this love is equivalent to joy, happiness, ananda, everyone. Only praise for ananda. Asatoma, tamasoma, mrityorma. So let me live without any break. Let me have infinite knowledge. Let me be having infinite joy. So this is the topic. And this occurs in the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th section, 8th mantra. And it doesn't really take away from the value, even if we recite it a few number of times. Tadetat preyaha putrat, preyo vittat, preyo anyasmat, sarvasmat, antarataram, ed ayam atma. Even the very positing of the Sanskrit words is most marvelous. Plainly translated, this self is dearer than a son, dearer than wealth, dearer than everything else, because it is the innermost. So 2 points are beautifully outlined here. The self is dearer than a son, dearer than wealth, dearer than everything else. Why is it so? Because it is the innermost. It is the most wanted. It is the most desired. It is the most striven for. Even man wants to die, sometimes forever, only because when a person is deprived and loses all hope, perhaps I will never be happy in my entire life or lives, then I cannot tolerate it. So we have already discussed a few points. But first, I will go through the entire, this 8th section, 8th mantra of the 4th section, and then we will discuss further points are there. So, there is nothing dearer than one's own self, first point, and it is dearer than everything. And what is that? Atma, one's own self, and everything other than one's own self is not dear at all. We will discuss about that point. Such a person who loves one's own self, who realized that I am the self, I am Brahman, and I am Ananda Swarupa, and such a person looking at another person, who is this another person? There are only 2 persons in this world, or 2 types of persons in this world. One, those who love the self, Atman, and those who love everything other than the Atma.
So, is there really, the question that comes, very important question, is there really anybody in this world who doesn't love one's own self? Even if somebody says, a patriot or a lover of the society, any society, irrespective of country, religion, language, etc. And there are a few Mahatmas, great souls, who do that, like Mahatma Gandhi. So for them, there is nothing excluded. But the question is there anyone who can love anything in this world other than the Atman? Now, when we use that word Atman, the intended meaning that we want to discuss may not be clear. To make it clear, we have to use the appropriate words. Ananda means, Atma means Ananda. Atma and Ananda are not separate things. So even the most worldly person who doesn't believe in God, but he believes because that is the very nature of a person. I want to be happy, whether it comes from within or from outside. So from that point of view, if Atman is equated with Ananda, Atman is Brahman, Brahman is Sat Chit Ananda. I already reminded you, these three words, Sat Chit and Ananda, cannot be separated. Those three are not three separate words. If I feel happy, then that means I am alive, Sat. And if I am feeling happy, I have to be aware, I have to be conscious. I am not an unhappy person, I am a happy person. Do people know about this? Then what is the difference between one, everyone wants happiness. What is the difference then between a person who loves Atman and who doesn't? To put it in plain language, there are people who believe and they don't use the word Atman. It is a very special word, and that is the better word actually. But people use the word God. I love God. There are many people who might say, I love God, we love God, but they don't really. They love God in order to get something from him, and that is not true love. But all Ananda comes only from God. What is it? Atma is our own true nature. What is our true nature? Ananda, Ananda Swarupaha, Shivoham Shivoham, Anandoham Anandoham, Sachidanandoham Sachidanandoham. So we love only Ananda because that is my nature. And here is a very, very important point. Nobody loves anything else excepting oneself. If my nature is Ananda, I love Ananda, naturally, I never love opposite or anything other than Ananda. And anything other than Ananda is called Dukkha, Kashta, or Nirananda. Nobody loves it. Why is it so? This is a universal law. Nobody loves Dukkha. Nobody struggles when one is happy to get rid of happiness. But even the slightest difficulty, your leg is becoming painful in one particular position. Immediately, unconsciously, you change it. Something is itching. Unconsciously, we stretch our hands to scratch and remove that feeling of itch, because itch means unhappiness, suffering, sorrow. That's why Bhagavan Buddha's words have to be understood carefully. He said, life is nothing but sorrow. What does he mean? He means anything that is outside Atman, that is called what we call life in the world, meaning body, mind, our circumstances, our family, etc., our jobs, etc. And everybody is striving for more and more happiness. So, in this background, we have to understand nobody loves anything other than Ananda. What is our problem, or what is the problem of a worldly person? a worldly person in Sanskrit is called Anatma Priya. Really, is a person, any person loves anything in this world? Not really. It seems he loves, but he doesn't. But what is the psychology? The person thinks, I want to be happy, and only this object can give me happiness. It could be husband, wife, children, parents, friends, anything else, possessions, bank balance, house, car, yacht, chat, everything. So the person doesn't, he loves only Ananda. This is what we discussed. Everybody loves only two things. What are the things? First of all, everybody loves Ananda. And everybody desires only Ananda. Why do you want to eat a sweet? Because you will get happiness. Why do you want to eat the best mango? Because you want to be happy. What is the problem? If a person doesn't get what he loves, he will not love. If the same object and every object is changing, so it might give happiness one time. It is conditional. We will discuss about it later on. But a person loves, first of all, Ananda. Second, the object through which a person mistakenly thinks that he is getting happiness. And slowly we realize, because of our experiences, through our experiences, that really Ananda is within ourselves. If we can train our mind to be happy, not to depend, and to understand, happiness doesn't lie in any object. Happiness is not the nature of any object. How do we know? Because the definition of nature, one's own nature, is that which never is lost from oneself. Like sweetness is not lost from sugar, and sourness is never lost from tamarind. So, like that, whatever is one's nature, that can never be lost. And whatever is lost is a mistaken identity, not real identity. So if an object has got happiness, and eternally that object should give happiness, what is the first problem? The object itself has a birth, has a growth, and has a death. Simple analysis. Suppose somebody loves a sweet mango. What type of mango? It should not be a small flower pollen has turned into mango. Nobody loves it. And the mango should go on growing, should go on acquiring sweetness, and it should be ripe properly. Then only it will give the sweetness. And some mangoes have extraordinarily attractive flavor. So we are all creatures of smells, smelly persons. We love smells. In fact, the taste is nothing but 99% smell, and rest is what we call sweet, sour, etc. So, every object, any object, doesn't have happiness because it has a birth. It becomes old. Mango becomes old, rotten. Nobody loves it. Only when it is in a particular condition. That is the first condition. Then it will be desirable, enjoyable. Can anybody derive happiness from that fact? No. Because the enjoyer must fulfill certain conditions. He should be physically healthy. He should be healthy mentally. And there should be no circumstances which threaten that person. If somebody is sitting with a gun, you eat this first-class mango. Otherwise, I blow you, your head into smithereens. Do you think the person will eat? But do you think he is enjoying? No, he knows. Therefore, the condition, external conditions must be right. A mango should be in the best condition. And his stomach, best time. Even a healthiest person cannot enjoy anything. So if you wake up a person who is deeply, terribly tired and deeply asleep, I brought your favorite food, you enjoy, is likely to injure you for disturbing greater happiness. So many conditions have to be fulfilled. And it should suit a person, because even if these conditions are fulfilled, if that object doesn't love this man, this person, me or you, then we regret, why did I eat? Because happiness should be such, before eating, after eating, it should leave a pleasant memory, samskara in the mind. But that's not going to happen. So the Upanishad divides people into two categories. And what is the point I brought out? Everybody loves ananda. There is no such thing called believer in God, non-believer in God. But what is the distinction? A believer in God equates God with happiness. He says, since you are happiness, I love you very naturally. But supposing, hypothetically, you pray to God, He comes to you, and then He asks you graciously, ask a boon of me, and then you say, I want to be very happy. But God says, I can't give you happiness because I don't have it, but ask anything. Money, jewels, house, best job, power, position, anything else, long life, I'll give you everything. If we have studied the Katha Upanishad, this was the conclusion that Nachiketa had come to. Even Yamadharmaraja says, I will not approach you. You will live a long time. You can enjoy rare objects which are not available on this earth. These heavenly damsels will serve you. Heavenly food will serve you. Heavenly objects of enjoyment will be constantly at your service. But Yamadharmaraja knows the psychology of love and ananda very much. So, he was only testing Nachiketa. But Nachiketa says, all these are useless because my mind is disturbed. And how is mind can be disturbed in umpteen number of ways. But here definitely I will be disturbed. How so? Because I have an unfulfilled desire. I want to have self-knowledge. You are evading my question. You are not giving the answer. So, without getting the answer, my desire will not be fulfilled. And this desire will be troubling me. And when one desire is, stronger desire is full, troubling me, even the fulfillment of all other smaller desires are not going to help me. So, once again, we will talk about very briefly what we discussed, because this is one of the most wonderful topics. There was a great social psychologist. His name was Eric Fromm, and he wrote a marvelous book, really great book, The Art of Loving. And then in the last chapter, he summarizes the whole book, The Art of Loving, but the essence of it, even he did not understand. What is the nature of ananda? Because he is only talking purely from psychological point of view, and he says it is an art. That is a great teaching we have to take. It is an art to love anybody, and much less to speak about God. It is the greatest art, and nobody is going to be an artist unless that person fulfills certain hard conditions. And for a long time, then only such a person has a chance, a remote chance, of becoming a great artist. But Vedanta tells us, why do we love Atman? Because Atman is of the nature of happiness. God is of the nature of happiness itself. And happiness requires that I should be alive, I should be existing, and I should be aware of it. Sat, Chit and Ananda. This is the beautiful psychology. So, even people will not love God. If God has to say, you can have me or you can have Ananda, because I am not Ananda. If suppose God tells this to the devotee, how many devotees will say, I don't care whether you are happiness or not. I will love you. But there also, there are saints. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was one of them. Sri Ramakrishna was one of them. Who used to say, I don't care whether You make me happy or unhappy, I don't care. But I love you. And why do these people love God? That is a question we have to put and get the answer. Because whether you give me happiness or not, I don't care. But by loving you, love means deriving, squeezing greatest happiness. If any person is foolish enough to say, I love such and such, but I don't get happiness, he doesn't know what he is talking about. We love only ananda, and we don't love what is not giving ananda. But this giving ananda, it is a mistake to think it is coming from outside. It is, I am creating ananda by creating a particular mental, psychological environment where I say, I derive the greatest joy. That's what Sri Ramakrishna says. Nobody loves anybody. He gives a beautiful example. And we have to study the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna in the light of the scriptures. What is the benefit? Then the scriptures are understood better. And Sri Ramakrishna is also understood better. Suppose there is a rich man. Two sorts of people visit him. One sort of people, they want to get something from the rich man. They say, they praise him, they extol him, and they say, you are the moon, you are the sun, you are the greatest. But the rich man is intelligent enough to know that these people are selfish, they want to get something, they're only praising me to get something, they don't really love me. So he will say, now you get up and go away. But there are people, if you ask, why are you coming here? What do you want? He says, I don't want anything from you. I just love to see you. I love to be with you. I don't want anything from you. And then the rich man will be very happy. Here is a true lover. It is identity. Which again, if you remember Swami Vivekananda's Sufi story, a lover once knocked at the door of the beloved. From within came the question, who are you? He said, it is me. Second time he knocked. Same question, same answer. Third time he knocked. The same question has come. This time he understood. He says, it is thee, my beloved. It is not me. It is thee. That means, I love thee. I am there only to love you. That is true love. And then he found there is no door at all. This is the door that is keeping us away from God, from everybody else. And when Jesus Christ proclaims, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor with all thy soul, with all thy heart. How come? Because that is the Jnani's love. A Jnani doesn't see any difference. If God created, he is the creation. And his creation is only God with name and form, as we discussed. And therefore, loving any object is loving God. But we must be continuously aware of that. I don't love an object as an object. I love an object as a manifestation of Brahman. That's what it is. Let us complete the next part of the mantra. Sa yo anyam atmanaha priyam ruvanam bruyat priyam roshyati iti ishvaroha tatha eva syat. If another person holding the self dear were to say to another person who says, I love everything else other than the self as dear, then the knower of the God, knower of the self, if he were to say, you will lose what you hold dear. And this knower of Brahman is certainly competent to do so. It will indeed come true. Very simple. That is, everything other than God is ephemeral. It changes. A knower of Brahman need not come and say, so your family members will die, your body will die, you will also die, your property also is. Actually, it's not necessary to say all this. When a person says, you will die, that means the whole world will be dead with the death of one's own body. So, Anybody who says, I don't love God, I love the world, whatever he loves will come to an end. And love means happiness. So whatever happiness is getting, it will come to an end. And for that one need not die. Death means limitation. So if there is a beautiful mango at this moment, after 3 days, it may become old, rotten. So it is actually that ripe mango is a dead mango. Therefore, it loses its capacity to make me happy. Or my stomach has gone bad. Any number of best mangoes or sweets or money or any number of people loving such a person will not, cannot make that person happy. That what does that show? That shows that when I remove my desires, then I remain as myself. And that is the state of highest happiness. And how do we know? Because in deep sleep, we don't get all these things. There is no object. There is no mind. Which means there is no waking state. There is no dream state. That means time, space and causation, they are completely removed. Then the person feels unlimited. And then he abides in his own self. That is why uninterruptedly we forget time, we forget space, we forget causation. That is called forgetfulness of the world. And that gives the greatest peace. Man will die for the sake of this sleep. Somebody had said, a wisecrack had said, that life is meant only for this kind of deep sleep. That is why it is called Ananda Maya Kosha, and for Ananda only. So this part of the verse or this mantra says that, oh my fellow, love God. Instead of saying love God, that is Puranic language, says love the Atman. Because Atman, you are the Atman. So you are not loving anybody. You are loving your own self. But other than your own self, everything is perishable. Perishable means it is limited. So even if an object is in front of us, at one time we loved it because the limitations were less. Now we hate the same object. We may even turn away our attention, our eyes. We may even hate. And this applies even to God also. So you say, you claim I love God. But if God fails to provide safety, security and happiness, the person will gladly, hastily will remove the God from his very house, from his very mind. This God is a useless God. So we are all utilitarians. So whether a jnani tells to the other person, a worldly person, that what you hold dear will die. There is no need to say. That is happening every millisecond of our life because our body is changing, our mind is changing, and along with that the external world, everything in this world is changing. Changefulness is the very nature of the world. That's why a Greek philosopher had said that no man steps into the same river twice. Then what should we do? Atmanam eva priyam upasita. So one should meditate upon the self alone as a dear. And what is that self? It is infinite. It is one. It is one without second. And there is no fear because there is no second. And it is, what is its nature? Sat Chit Ananda. Immortality, infinite knowledge, unbroken happiness. That is the nature of the Atman. But we may not understand it, so we must have faith in the words of the scripture. But we will not have faith in the words of the scripture. For that we have to choose a person after examination. This person is an unselfish person. He loves you. Even if you have nothing to offer, and he is ready to sacrifice his life for your sake. And we have to understand through these signs that he is a knower of Brahman, because his love is not worldly love. His love is, I love you because you are you. I love you because you are you. No, I love you because I am you. There is nobody else other than the Atman. I am the Atman. Therefore, there is no you or she or it or anything else. That is why better understand this. Oh, Bhrigu, or here, a disciple, Atmanam eva priyam pasita. Atman is the dearest. And it is also dearest because it is the nearest. Nearest means not some object which is near. It is nearer than the body, nearer than the mind. If these are destroyed, the pure consciousness will always be there. And I am that pure consciousness, Shivoham, Shivoham. Therefore, you realize yourself, then you will get infinite existence, infinite knowledge, infinite joy. Sa ya atmanam eva priyam upaste, na hi asya priyam pramayukam bhavati. He who meditates upon the self alone as dear, what he holds dear will not perish. Beautiful expression again. Why does what this person holds dear will never perish? Because it is the imperishable Atman, deathless Atman. So he, yaha Atmanam eva priyam, Atman alone is Ananda, Sachidananda Swarupa, and it is immortal. And that awareness, I am the Atman, that is called Chit. And he who realizes it through sadhana, nahi asya priyam, what he holds dear. What does he hold dear? This Atman, pramayukam bhavati, it will never ever perish. So, we have already analyzed a little bit, and then we go to the beginning. It is dearer than a son, dearer than wealth, and dearer than everything else. So, why is the Atma dearest? How is the Atma dearer than everything? So, we have also discussed, I will only briefly remind you, every creature, living creature, of course human being, better than anybody, loves only two things. First, he wants to be happy. She wants, he means he, she, everybody. Secondly, by mistake this person, we all think, this Ananda is coming through the objects of five sense organs. Beautiful sound, beautiful form, beautiful smell, beautiful taste, and beautiful weather, etc. But Vedanta tells that we all mistakenly think these five objects of five sense organs are giving or containing happiness, and therefore they are giving me happiness. As we discussed earlier, is a mistaken notion. Why? Because every object has a birth, has a, what is called, sustenance or duration, and it will die. Therefore, to depend upon something which can be for a second, and it includes our own body as an instrument, our own mind, nothing can be depended. But there is something which has no birth, no death, and that is called the Atman. So only two things. We only love happiness, and temporarily we love that object which we think is giving me happiness. Of these two, which is the best? Happiness alone is primary, and every other sense object is secondary. And why do I like happiness? Because that is my very nature. Because when am I happy? Because I am happy only when I am myself. That's why when I identify myself with Annamaya Kosha, then I am a happy person. When I identify myself with Virat, I am even more happy. Then I discover there is this Annamaya Kosha, even Virat, is far from Atman. But there is something nearer to that Atman. Just as when we approach a blazing fire, even from a distance, we start feeling the heat, and the heat goes on increasing. Similar way, as we approach the Atman, our happiness also will increase. So, when we discard Annamaya Kosha and identify with Pranamaya Kosha, I am a bit nearer to the Atman. And so on, when I move to the Manomaya Kosha, the mind, thoughts. In fact, our thoughts make everything. A poor man can be happy if he has happy thought. A rich man is unhappy in spite of everything he has because of the poor thought or poverty-stricken thought, I am not happy. That is the worst type of thought anybody can have. And when the person moves to the Vijnanamaya, even nearer to the Atma, when he moves to the Anandamaya, he is still nearer. Only a thin layer is the obstruction to become one with the Atman. That is why after attaining Anandamaya Kosha, he comes to realize that I am not a Kosha, I am Ananda. At the level of Anandamaya Kosha, a person clearly realizes this is a Kosha. And as soon as one realizes what is Kosha, that which limits. And no man wants a limitation. So immediately he will cut it off. Then when Anandamaya Kosha, from Anandamaya Kosha, if we remove the Kosha, what remains? Ananda. That is why Anando Hyatma Brahma Puchyam Pratishtha. So I love the means of happiness only because it gives me happiness. I love any object so long as it gives me happiness. And the moment it stops giving happiness, I give up loving it. I may even cherish hatred. Look at your everyday life. Whether a husband loses his love for the wife or wife loses her love for the husband or for the children or for anything in this world, friends are given up. Religion is given up. Even ultimately, God also is given up if I don't get that happiness. And then what is the psychology? Once I gain happiness through any object, that object itself loses its importance. Like as I gave the example, when a person sucks all the sweetness from a sugar cane, he throws it out as obstruction, as rubbish. He just throws it as far distance as possible. So our desire for happiness is unlimited and unconditional love. Whereas my love for any object which I mistakenly think it gives me happiness is absolutely conditional. That condition is, so long as it gives, however, whether it gives more, whether it gives less. The less giving, we love less. More giving, we love more. That is the condition. But from the Shastra, from the Guru, we learn that Atma alone is happiness. And everything else other than Atma is called Anatma. Anatma is unhappiness because the happiness of the Atma is its very nature. So it is Ekam Sat, Ekam Eva Advitiyam. That is why Atman is eternal, Atman is secondless, therefore that gives eternal happiness. So children, possessions, house, everything, the whole world belong to the realm of Anatma. And whatever is Anatma is going to change, and every change is called perishing or death. So, why is Anatma unhappiness? Because it is limited and conditional love. Simple example. You buy a car. So long as it serves your purpose, you love it. The moment it doesn't, you give it up. So, same thing applies to God also. We will not love. Nobody will love even God selflessly. But if we find a saint loves God unconditionally, we have to understand a very important point here, that his very love for God gives him the greatest happiness. Whether God is of the nature of love or not, it doesn't matter. And that same thing applies to worldly love also. If we think this person gives me happiness, whether that person really gives happiness or not, material. Our thinking, my thinking, that I derive great happiness, my thought that this person gives me happiness, that is the only thing that gives happiness. That means I am generating happiness from within myself. Now, a question comes here. The Upanishad says, a jnani loves everybody. A lover, a saint loves everybody without any differentiation. The four conditions. He loves everybody unconditionally and he is ready to sacrifice everything. He doesn't make the slightest distinction and he is ready to undergo any suffering for helping other person. And the greatest, a saint is always happy whether there are any objects or no objects in his eyes. The person will not value one object more than the other object because he starts seeing God everywhere. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shunichaiva Shrapa Keja Panditaha Samadarshana. So a Jnani's love is from one point of view selfish love. What does it mean? I love you, a Jnani says, because I am you. That is called I love you for my sake, because I know I am you, you are me. Like a mother loving her children only. Every mother is like a Jnani in a very temporary way. She only loves her own children, nobody else. But a Jnani's love is universal love because he identified Sarvatma Bhama. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. Sarvancha Mayi Pashyati. He who sees me everywhere and he who sees everything as one's own self. That is what he means. That is what he says. Aham Brahmasmi. But for an Ajnani, I means only his body and mind and his possessions. So, mind, body and possessions. And they are all limited. Therefore, that his ananda is severely limited according to the condition of his love, the object. And another reason the Upanishad gives, which is nearest to me, I am nearest to myself. So, who is nearest to me? Only I. And so, why do I love anything? Because I am everything. That is the, according to Vedanta, everybody loves only the Atman. But without that knowledge, thinks that the other object is giving me happiness, but we also know it can also give dukkha also. But we are enamored of ananda. We forget every ananda comes with dukkha. Even if an object gives us happiness, but that is only very temporary, momentary, but after that, terrible worries, etc., everything comes out. A Jnani is called Atma Priyavadi, one who loves one's own self. And an Ajnani is called the opposite, Anatma Priyavadi. Therefore, a Jnani can say boldly that whatever you love, it is going to be destroyed. Why? Because the you who is the lover is also limited and the object which you claim to love is also limited. Remember, a subject cannot exist without an object, neither an object can exist without a subject. That division, they both are dependent upon each other, so both will die. But a Jnani doesn't say, I am the subject. Neither he says, I am the object. He rises beyond the borders of both subject and object. Therefore, Atmanameva Upasita. Therefore, we must know everything is the Atma. All that in this, that exists in this universe is myself alone. A Jnani has neither friend nor enemy. In fact, there is no second object that exists for a Jnani. And a Jnani, that is a Jivanmukta, seem to love even an enemy. But how does he love? Not as an object, an Atma, but as Atma, one's own self. That's why Jesus says, forgive the enemies, because there are no enemies. That is what he did not tell. So this is the difference between a Jnani and a Jnani. And how and why Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother loved their devotees as their devotees. These people admire me, admire us. So they are naturally like worldly person. We return their love. No, because everybody is looked upon as Atman only. Often they do not express this, but Holy Mother says, all are my children. When some topic is raised, because at that time, freedom movement was going on, and these cloths produced in the Western countries should not be bought, only Swadeshi, Khaddar, etc., Khadi. Then Holy Mother said, no, they are also my children, because she will never wish anybody to suffer, because she is the children. Therefore, if anybody suffers, she suffers. Even a cat suffers, she suffers. What about a snake? Yes, that is also true. But we see, Sri Ramakrishna contradiction. We have to understand properly. Sri Ramakrishna said, I could not sleep for 3 days after Keshav passed away. Is it a worldly love? No. Why? Because Keshav was an instrument of the Divine Mother. It is because of Keshav, through Keshav, Sri Ramakrishna came to be known, became popular, so many people could come to him, and even the followers of the members of Brahmo Samaj also deserted Keshav Chandra Sen, albeit he doesn't know why it is so. But Sri Ramakrishna never loves anybody, cannot love anybody as separate from himself. This is called Brahman's love, love of the Atman. So we have to understand every saint, direct disciples, great devotees, there is no distinction between whom they love, etc. So, in the end, the Upanishad says that whoever worships this Atman, the Jnani, gains eternal happiness, happiness free from all limitations, and that is also called moksha. So, if a person of lesser preparedness slowly practices sadhana and progresses in sadhana, and in the end he becomes identified with Brahman, and if he is still functioning through this body mind, he will be called a Jivan Mukta. For him, Anandam, Anandam, Paramanandam. This is the essence of this 8th mantra in this 4th section, and in our next mantra, the most marvelous topic of Brahma Vidya is taken up. There are two more in this 4th section, Mantra 9 and Mantra 10. And upon these two, Shankaracharya writes an elaborate bhashyam, and I will give you the gist of that bhashyam in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ram Krishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.